All right, good morning. Today I'm going to be talking about a tool that we're developing as part of the Clean Water 3 project. And this is mainly aimed at growers to help them be able to look at their operation with their critical eye and determine where they could potentially be reducing their disease pressure at their operation. So similar to like a fire triangle, there's also a disease triangle. So in order for a disease to infect a plant, you need to have three things. You need to have a susceptible host, which is a plant that can be infected, a conducive environment, so whatever that particular pathogen needs in order to get in there needs to be present, as well as the pathogen. So if you any three of those isn't available, you're not going to have infection. So the whole kind of point of doing this is if we can remove at least one of those three, then we can reduce disease pressure. So, as we all know, nurseries are very complex. It's not like a potato field or a cornfield where everything's the same. This can make managing pest and disease problems very difficult because there's so much going on there. The other issue that kind of compounds all this is that the amount of plants that come into the country every year has been increasing. So if you think about the number of plants coming in, if you're trying to inspect all of those plants, it becomes overwhelming when you go from, at least compared to our exports, are about 1 billion plants per year, but we're importing about 3 billion plants per year. So if you look at that over time, the amount of budgeting and the amount of people that are available to do this has not gone up, but the amount of plants that need to be inspected has. So that causes a problem on the front end of potentially allowing more disease and pathogens into the disease and pests into the country because there's not as much scrutiny in place. So there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of potential for pathogens to come in. So if we look at an example of Phytophthora ramorum, which is introduced at least three times on the West Coast. So these plants went into the West Coast. They weren't seen when the plants came into the country. They weren't inspected, or at least the inspections didn't find the pathogens. They went, they were grown out. And then unbeknownst to the people that were growing them, they were then shipped on across the country. And now we have sudden oak death or Phytophthora ramorum throughout the country. So there's, this has been shown time and time again with different pathogens, different places that they come in, different places that they go. So if we could try to reduce this at the nursery level, scale, then we can do a better job at controlling our pathogens. So I'm not going to go through this whole list, but there's a number of pathogens that have been introduced into the nursery trade over the years, and they've had devastating impacts on the plants that are affected by them. So here's an example of an operation out in Oregon who basically had to trash a whole bunch of plants that had to be incinerated because of Phytophthora ramorum that were in the plants. So it can lead to quarantines, which are bad for the operation, crop destruction, and of course lost sales. So these can have big impacts on the operations that are required to, you know, quarantine these plants. And then, you know, once you're quarantined, then other growers may be less likely to buy from you thinking, hey, you still have this problem in the future. So it can be a huge economic cost for growers. So I'm not sure. Some of them are more on top of the you know, looking for and scouting for disease problems, but not all of them. So it's only, you know, after they're quarantined that they think, hey, we may have a problem. But what we're trying to do with this project is try to get them to look at this problem before it becomes a quarantine issue, before it gets that big, and try to help them beforehand so they don't have those crop destruction and lost sale problems. So this isn't just a nursery issue. Some of these plant diseases get out and impact our forests. That can be seen with a lot of both diseases and insect pests. So this is a picture of sudden oak death in California. So as part of being able to reduce disease pressure, there's something called a hazard analysis of critical control points. Jennifer Park talked about this yesterday in the first session that we had for the Water 3 project. So I'm going to go into that into a little more detail. So there's already existing a paper copy that's, I think, about 30 pages long that either a grower or someone in the industry would have to fill out about that operation in order to come up with an idea of, you know, kind of where they are in their disease spectrum or how safe they are growing their plants. So this is a very time-consuming process. It takes a few hours to complete. Limited access, the growers have to have that paper copy and then have the time to fill it out. It's not super user-friendly. You kind of go through this big, long list. Growers don't always understand all the questions. And also when you get the results, you know, yes or no, that may not mean very much to them. So, you know, is yes good or is yes bad in this particular circumstance? And there's not a lot of feedback for it. So they need to have some sort of expert or somebody who's versed in this hazard analysis in order to be able to interpret the results. So it's not, you know, kind of cut and dry. They go in, they fill this out, and then they get, you know, 6 recommendations. And there's also no extra information unless they have somebody take a look at it. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to kind of make this a better process for growers to go through. So here's an example of what it looks like when growers fill out the paper version. So there's all these questions, yes and no boxes, and it's kind of a linear process. So what we wanted to do is make it much more dynamic. So we wanted to do a web-based hazard analysis and critical control point and program online. So it would be available anywhere that you have internet connection, which now is more and more places. Expanded choices, not just have yes, no, but some places, some examples would be, that I'm going to show next, like, where does your water come from? And there's 4 or 5 choices for, I get municipal water or well water or I use surface water. So that's not covered in the paper version, but with the online version, we're able to take that information, put it all in there, and then go from there. They also have instant feedback. So I'll show you in the next slide what it looks like when they click on something. Compartmentalized doesn't mean that it's, you know, kind of small, but it means that they can just answer a certain part of the questionnaire and not have to go through the whole thing. So if they wanted to just look at their site analysis or look at their water usage, they could go into those sections and just say, okay, well, this is all I have time for today. I'm going to look at that, get some recommendations. They also have links that they can go to for additional information. So that was one of the really big benefits of putting this online is that we can then connect to the internet, have a link, and they can go out and see that. And also we can provide recommendations, say, hey, these are the top 5 things. So answer these 5 questions and you'll cover, you know, 80% of where your pathogens are likely to come from this particular source, whether that's irrigation or surface water, whatever that is. So, for example, this is a source water. So this is looking particularly at source water. So what is the source of your irrigation water? And then there's 5 choices. So surface water, do you get it from a pond or a stream? Is it untreated recycled water, municipal water, well water, or treated recycled water? So this is what I'm talking about here if you see these boxes. So this is something that I clicked on. I use surface water in my pond. Well, this is a high risk. If you're not doing anything else besides taking it from your pond and putting it out in your operation, you could run into some major problems. So we can, you know, then point them in the right direction of where they need to go. And these are the ways that you can do that. You can chlorinate, you can use, UV or some other type of process to disinfect that water. And then, for example, if they're using well water, hey, good job. This should have a low pathogen load. Shouldn't be a problem. Go ahead and keep using it. So, and then do you collect irrigation and runoff for reuse? That is an inherently risky process. I don't know if anybody was here and saw Jennifer's presentation yesterday. She looked a lot at where pathogens were in water, and they find that a lot in the recycling and surface waters that they're going to find a lot of pathogens present. So that's inherently risky. You can mitigate that risk in certain ways, and this is how to do it. And then do you monitor and treat your water for disinfectant? So, okay, you have a chlorine system in place. but is it actually working? And do you know that because, oh yes, I look there and I change the tanks out so it's working. No, do you actually measure it? So if you clicked on yes at least once a week, you'd get a thumbs up. Good job. So at least once a month, well, you're running into, you know, your system may be out for 2 weeks before you actually finally test it and realize that there's a problem there. So there's a lot of ways that we can help growers to be better at what they do. And this we feel is a really important one. So these are the components of the hazard analysis and critical component system. And again, the way that this is set up, the growers can look at any one of these sections and within that section, you know, just answer questions that they're interested in and they can get information back about where they are. So there's site selection, preparation and maintenance. So this goes into, you know, where they grow, whether they grow in the middle of a forest, where there's going to be a higher pathogen load versus being in an open field. Water management, how they look at the water at their operation. Plant procurement, where they get their plants from. What do they do when their plants come in? Plant propagation and greenhouse production, all the different factors that go into that. How clean do they grow? You know, what steps do they take to sanitize their propagation material? Then we have container and field production. So looking at different aspects of that, what are their containers placed on? How do they grow in the field? Different factors for that. Potting media and containers. So, you know, do they recycle their containers? Do they reuse them? Which is a source of contamination. Is their potting media, you know, on a hard surface where, and it's away from all their potential sources of contamination. And then disposal and composting. Do they have their cull pile in the middle of their operation where it can, you know, where the pathogens can reinfest different parts of their operation, or is it off to the size and off to the side of their operation, you know, downstream of where they're growing so that it can't reinfest? And then training, what do they do for their workers? Are they good at making sure that, you know, workers are trained in proper ways to keep their operation clean? Scouting, do they go out and they look at their operation on a regular basis? Biosecurity is making sure that they have that and record keeping kind of go hand in hand, making sure that they're taking the steps to ensure that their operation stays clean. And then the overall goal of what we're trying to do is to produce healthy plants. So traditionally, kind of growers wait for a problem and then try to fix it. But what we're trying to do with the hazard analysis and critical control points is be able to preemptively find problems and fix them before they become, become a problem. So it goes from detection to prevention is what we're trying to look for. And in order to be successful, this kind of systems or overall approach has to be based on hazards of contamination and critical control points. I talked about that a fair bit. And then we want to be able to provide them with science-based best management practices, show them things that work based on, you know, research studies. And then this, we've talked a lot about Phytophthora, but this should apply to a wide range of pathogens and pests. So putting these systems in place won't just help with Phytophthora, but also Pythium and a lot of the other water molds as well. And providing an incentive is always a good idea. And for this particular one, cost is a big incentive for growers. If they can reduce their disease pressure, if they can reduce the number of plants that they have to cull, then they'll have higher profit margins because they're able to sell more of their plants. And then being more effective in preventing shipment of contaminated plants. As we saw with the Phytophthora ramorum example, you know, a few nurseries that had Phytophthora ramorum without their knowledge then shipped and infested, you know, a wide range of, or a wide part of the United States with those plants. So if any way that we can reduce that is good for the industry. And with that, I can take any questions.
Suspects they have an issue, runs through this as an analysis, and suspects that Jennifer's talk yesterday was really interesting because it actually pointed to a number of potential
Mm-hmm.
But it's extensive. So how, where are we graph analysis of various diseases? And where do chromosomes go to get that?
So the question was regarding where are we with rapid analysis of pathogens and pests. So as you know, John, I am not a pathologist, but I will do the best I can to answer that question. So you're right. There are things out there like Dr. Park was talking about yesterday with advanced PCR techniques and advanced genetic techniques where they can identify what species they are, but they're expensive. I know there's some work going on trying to make like a petri film for disease pressure, or you know, trying to identify what's there. But I mean, that's, you know, where contacting your local extension agent and trying to go that route would be the best course of action, trying to get you know, your local help involved to try to identify what it is and treat it as best as possible. Lauren?